Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvochim Daf Lamed Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The actual Shiur will begin at the bottom of Lamed Hei Omid Beis at the Mishnah. Before we continue in the Mishnah, let us glance at the outside margin. We have a nosei, a topic heading. In our Gemara markings, we attempt to provide topic headings and structural notes. Topic headings entitled nosei and structural notes entitled mivneh. Under our nosei heading, we have the following: machshavos b'shas shchita she'enon poislois. Mindsets or thoughts during the act of slaughtering that do not ruin the korban. This is, of course, in contrast to the sugis that we've been preoccupied with till now, whereby one has an incorrect mindset with regard to time and place that creates a situation known as pigul, which ruins the korban. And in the case of chatos and pesach, we know that if it's done shelo lishmo as well, the korban is ruined. In contrast to that, here we will see examples of mindsets, thoughts that do not ruin the korban. Shochtoi al menas lahaniach esdomoi oy emurov lamochor. One shechted a korban with the intention of leaving the dam over, or the innards over, till the next day. We're not talking about a thought to sprinkle the dam or offer the innards, simply to leave them over till the next day. Oy lahitzion lachutz, or to carry them outside. Of course, if these acts are actually done, the korban is ruined. But here we're not talking about an actual carrying out of the dam or an actual leaving over of the dam. We're talking about he shechts the korban, he slaughters it with this in mind, planning to do it. Rabbi Yehuda posel v'chachomim machshirin. So we see here a machlokas tanaim. Rabbi Yehuda holds that these mindsets, these thoughts, will ruin the korban. The chachamim say these thoughts do not ruin. Al menas litnon al gabi hakevish. Let us say he shechts the korban with the intention of doing the matnas dam, the sprinkling, on the ramp leading up to the mizbeach, to the altar. Shelo keneged hayesod, or at a point on the Mizbeach that there is no frame or foundation base at that point on the Mizbeach. In general, korban dam sprinklings, blood sprinklings, are done on the altar at a point under which, at the bottom of the Mizbeach, is a section or a piece called the Yesod. This Yesod appears around the Mizbeach, under the three corners, with the exclusion of southeastern corner of the Mizbeach. So here he has an intention to, when he's shechting the korban, he has an intention of springing the blood above the Mizbeach at the southeastern corner. Another example, he shechts the korban, v'litein es hanitnin l'malon l'mato. With the mindset of taking an ola, let's say, an ola is an example of a korban whose blood is sprinkled above. A chatos is an example of a korban whose blood is sprinkled above, supposed to be, and he intends to do it lamata, to do it below. And in contrast, or another example, the esanitnin lamata lamalon, or he shechts the korban, he slaughters it with the intention of sprinkling the blood that ordinarily would go below, like an ola, korban ola, and to sprinkle that above. V'es hanitnin b'fnim v'chutz. those korbanos that are whose blood is sprinkled in the heichal, he shechts it with the intention of sprinkling it in the azora. V'es hanitnin b'chutz b'fnim, and the korbanos who are generally sprinkled on the outside altar, the altar in the courtyard, he shechts them with the intention of sprinkling their blood in the heichal. As we continue at the second line from the top on Lamed Vov Amud Aleph, Shiochluhu Tameim, or he shechts the korban with the intention that Tomei people will eat it. Shiakrivuhu Tameim, or that Tomei individuals will offer the korban, will process the korban. Shiochluhu Arelim, Vishiakrivuhu Arelim. Arelim are uncircumcised. L'shaber Atzmos HaPesach, or he shechts the korban with the intention of breaking the bones of a korban pesach, which, if actually done, is an iser. Here, we're talking about he's shechting the korban, he's slaughtering it with this, while planning these in mind. He shechts with the intention of eating the meat of the korban pesach, not fully roasted. No is a situation of it being, we'll say, close to raw. Ula arev damo b'dam hapsulim, or with the intention of mixing the blood with the invalidated blood. All of these machshavas, the Mishnah says, kosher. She'ein machshava poiseles elo b'chutz lizmano b'chutz lomkomo v'apesa v'achatas shelo lishmon. All of these mindsets are types of mindsets that as long as they're left as merely a plan, they do not ruin the korban, because planning or incorrect planning ruins a korban only if it's with regard to place and time or the low lishma processing of a korban pesach or a chatos. Before we proceed in the Gemara, we have a structural issue to take care of. We have a new geometric form that appears, a crown shape with the tips facing up. We'll notice as we go on in the Gemara, this shape will be flipping back and forth. Under our Nosei Mivneh heading in the outside margin, we've noted Roman numeral 1 and 2, and you can see they appear on the page, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text between the Gemara and the Rashi, you'll notice a Roman numeral number 1, and halfway down the page, a Roman numeral number 2. They represent Hezberim, Leshitas Rabbi Huda, explanations for Rabbi Huda's position, De Machsheves Hinuach V'Hoitzo Posel, that Machshavos of the planning of leaving over or of carrying out the blood or the emurim posel, ruin the korban. We'll see the geometric form with the points facing up. We're calling this a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. In other words, when you have a geometric form whose position flips up, flips back and forth, up and down, this represents an attempt to keep track of a back and forth discussion. In this case, we have with the tips facing up, she'los or kushos, questions, or the raising of difficulties. With the points facing down, that will represent answers, tshuvos, answers. So the Gemara opens up, my time with Rabbi Huda. What is the basis of Rabbi Huda's opinion that machsheves hinuach, the machshava, the plan to leave something over till the next day? Once again, let us emphasize, leaving over is not the same thing as the standard machsheves chutz lizmano, whereby a person has a plan to sprinkle the blood the next day, or to offer the innards the next day, or to eat it the next day, or after the proper time lapses. Here we're not talking about that. Here we're talking about Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah that features a machsheves hinuach, which is just an issue of leaving it over, leaving the dam, the blood over, or the innards, leaving them over till nightfall, when certainly beyond, at which point the korban itself, if he actually would leave it over, would ruin it. But here we're not talking about him actually leaving it. We're talking about him shechting, he's slaughtering with that in mind. So Rabbi Yehuda says it ruins the korban. Why? So, as we said before, we have a Roman numeral number 1 here. This is the first attempt to explain his shita. later, when the Roman numeral number 2 arrives, you can see, if you skim down the page, you'll see the Gemara there says, Elo taimo de rebuta svorahu. Gemara presents a second approach. So we read the Gemara. Omar Rebbe Elazar, Trei Kroi Ksivi Benosar. There are two psukim that feature the prohibition of nosar, of leave of korban, korbanos that are left uneaten beyond the appointed time. One pasuk is in the case of a korban pesach, and the other is in the case of a korban todah. We also want to note that the answer to the my time there will be the question lasts a few lines, and that's indicated by the long answer marking to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara. You see a tuf that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. So, reading the Gemara, Omar Rebbe Elazar, Trei Kroi Ksivi Benosar, as we mentioned, there are two psukim in the context of Nosar, Kosov Echad Omer, Lo Sosiru Mimenu Ad Boker. The Kosov Echad Omer, Lo Yoniach Mimenu Ad Boker. Both of the psukim indicate that one should not leave over till the next day. So, do we really need two psukim to teach the same thing? Im eino inyan lahaniach, if it's not necessary to teach me about the prohibition of actual leaving over, teneu leinyan machsheves hinuach. Let us ascribe the extra posuk to the issue of planning to leave over. The Gemara now asks a question that lasts a number of lines, and that's indicated by our long question mark. You can see a kuf that's to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text that's encircled with a vertical dashed line, indicating that all the lines of the Gemara that are opposite this vertical dashed line form the question. So the Gemara asks, V'Rebbi Yehuda Haikra Lahochi Hud Asa? Is it so that the posuk just cited is for this purpose? Hi, mi boya le lechnesanya. We need the pasuk just cited for something else. We're referring, of course, to the psukim we saw vayikra perek zayin pasuk tezvav. And it might help if we just pause for a second and take note of the pasuk on the side. We've included this on the inside margin. Vayikra zayin pasuk tezvav. It says, ubasar zevach toidos shlomov. B'yoyim korbono ye'ochel, lo yoniach mimenu ad boker. So let us see what the other use for the pasuk may be. So the Gemara says, let's read that line again. Verbuta hai kro lahochi hud asa. Is it for that which we just taught? Hai mi boyle lichlisanya. We need it for the following teaching. And in our Gemara markings, we include Tanaic sources in frames to distinguish it from the rest of the Gemara literature. So the pasuk says, Ubasar zevach toidos shlomov. That's the quote from the pasuk. Lomadnu l'toidos nechelis liyoyim v'laylo. We learn from here that a korban todah has a one-day eating period, namely the day that it's slaughtered and the immediate following night. Chalipin vlodois tmuros minayin. What about these? Chalipin, Rashi describes as a situation where a person had set aside a korban todah and it got lost, and he then provided a replacement animal and then found the first one. And found the original lost one. So the second animal is called Chalipe Toda, and it's offered. It is also offered. So when it's offered, or the Vlados, the offspring of a Korban Toda, if someone dedicated an animal to be brought as a Korban Toda, and it bore an offspring, that's the Vlados, or Tamuros is a situation where a person replicates the sanctity of the Korban Toda onto another animal, onto a chulin animal. From where do we know that they have a one-day eating time period? Tamid lomar ubasar. Chatos v'asham minayin. From where do we know that these kinds of korbanos, the chatos and asham, also have a one-day time period for eating them? Tamid lomar zevach. The word zevach includes them. Shalmei nozir v'shalmei pesach minayin. from where do we know that these types of korbanos also have a one-day time period? Even though it's a general shlomim, one should note, has a two-day time period for their consumption. But these korbanos, shalmei nozir, is a korban that a nozir brings upon the completion of his nazir's period. And shalmei pesach, Rashi explains, is the Chagigas Yud Dalid, the Chagiga korban that's brought on the 14th of Nisan to be eaten prior to the eating of the korban Pesach. In other words, at the 14th at night, one eats these korbanos before they actually eat the korban Pesach. That's called Chagigas Yud Dalid. So, from where do we know that these korbanos have a one-day time period for them? Talmud Lomar, Shlomov. The word Shlomov in this very pasuk, the Vayikra Zayin pasuk Tezvav. Lachme toido v'chalos rikikin shebenozir, v'chalos urikikin shebenozir minayin. How about the time period for the loaves that accompany the loaves, the baked loaves that accompany a korban toda, and likewise the chalos urikikin are the names of the different loaves that accompany the nozir's korban. Chalos urikikin shebenozir minayin. From where do we know that they have a one-day time period for their consumption? Talmud lomar korbanoi. Kulon korei ani bohen. Regarding all of these different types of korbanos featured in this pasuk, and the words with the different words that allude to the different korbanos, they all have a one-day time period, and they are all of them we refer the warning of lo yoniach, don't leave over till the morning. So we see from here that the lo yoniach pasuk is not available to teach me about machsheves hinuach. It's the pasuk is being used to teach me that these korbanos have a one-day time period for their eating. The Gemara answers, Im Kain, if the pasuk was limited to that, Lema kro loy seisiru, then the pasuk should have used the more standard term, namely lo seisiru, as you find by other examples of nosar, of leaving of leftover meat. My lo yoniach. What is the significance of this change in expression that you find, the departure from the usual expression of lo sosiru, and it uses the word lo yoniach, which is the uncommon form. Im eino inyan lehinuach, if it's not to teach me simply about being left over for the prohibition of leaving over, teneo inyan lemachsheves hinuach. By the choice of this unusual expression, we have a right to extend this pasuk to teach me concerning the, of course, according to Rebbe Yehuda, the prohibition of thinking, of planning to leave over the blood or the emurim or the of a particular korban, and that machshava would passel the korban, the machshava of leaving over the dam. So the Gemara goes on, Ha Tenach Lehoniach. We've shown a moker, a source for Rabbi Yehuda's approach to the problem of a plan to leave over. Lehotzi Ma'ikol Amemar. We've labeled this Aleph. So there are two parts to the Gemara's questioning right now. Lehotzi. That was another situation that Rabbi Yehuda said, that if one plans to take out the dam from the azara, or he plans to take out the meat from its correct eating precinct, that simply to take out, that a machshava like that, a plan like that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, also will ruin the korban if one is thinking this during the shechita. From where do we know then the din of lahotzi, of the plan of lahotzi, that passels? The oid, and we've labeled this base, time of the Rabbi Yehuda Savarahu. The real reason behind Shitas Rabbi Yehuda for that lo yoniach and the machshavas hinuach or the machshavas chitzo pasels is based on logic and not from a posuk, not from a gzeres hakosuv that we attempted to show just above. Rather, it's a svora. The sanya omar lohem Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda addresses the Chachomim and says to them, "I atem moidim sheminicho lemochor shu pasul." Well, wouldn't you agree that if one leaves over the meat till the next day, in actuality, that the korban is ruined, af chishev lanicho lemochar posel. Likewise, by the same token, a plan to leave over the dam or the meat till the next day would ruin the korban. And following the girsa, the text that we have on the inside margin of the Gemara from the printer, you'll notice we've underlined, it says there, V'i atem modim shim huitzion b'chutz sheposel. Would you, the Rabbonan, not agree that if he actually takes the dam or the meat outside of the azora or outside of its appropriate precincts, that the korban would be ruined? Af hishev lahotzion b'chutz posel. So too, the plan to take them out, the mere thinking to take them out, would also ruin the korban. Therefore, the Gemara says, Ela, Taimo, the Rabbi Yehuda, Svarahu. As a result of what we just presented, we see that the real explanation for Shitas Rabbi Yehuda is a Svara. The Svara being that if the plan were to be carried out in actuality, the korban would be ruined. A plan to do that as well has the power to ruin the korban. With that in mind, the Gemara asks, "V'niflog nami Rabbi Yehuda b'kulhu." Why is it the Rabbi Yehuda does not argue with all of the other examples in the Mishnah where the Chachamim rule that the korban is kosher, even though he had a mindset that seemed to be problematic? Nevertheless, all of the other examples in the Mishnah were the Rabbi Yehuda silent and says that would seem to agree that the korban is kosher. The Gemara structure should be viewed as follows. We have a question of V'niflug nami Rabbi Yehuda b'kulu. Let him not. Why doesn't he argue with all the other cases and say that a machshava to do any of the subsequent examples of the Mishnah would also ruin the korban? The Gemara answers Behei niflug. In which of the following examples should he disagree and claim that the korban is posel? What we've done, marking-wise, we've categorized this as a long answer. You can see we have the inverted crown marking to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, incorporating a number of lines in which you see a lot of double underlining. Double underlining is one of our series markings, and if you glance at the side of the Gemara, the outside margin, you see it says the Nosei Mivneh, and you see the double underline featured, Machshavos Hamuzkoros B'Mishnah She'enon Poslos. The Mishnah listed a number of machshavos of plans that he expressed while he was shechting, that when he is shechting, and he has these in mind, they do not ruin the korban. Hagamor She'elos Lama Rabbi Yehuda Lo Cholek U'Posel Gam B'Machshavos Ho'elu. Why is it that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't express his opinion with regard to these machshavos as well, that they would ruin the korban? So the Gemara answers, well, in which should he disagree with the Mishnah? Behei niflog, b'shover atzomos ha-pesach v'lecho mimenu no? Should he disagree in that case, where the example that this case was taught in the Mishnah, as are all of these double underlines, where the Mishnah rules that the korban, even though he planned to do this while he was shechting, the korban remains kosher. So should Rabbi Yehuda disagree? The Gemara responds and says, "Zivcho gufei mi mifsel." If someone were to actually break the bones of the korban Pesach, would the Korban Pesach be considered posel as a result? No, the Korban Pesach is not posel. After the Zrikas Adam, after the sprinkling of the dam of the Korban was done properly, in other words, after the Korban was processed properly, even though there's an Isser, there's a prohibition of thou shalt not break the bones of a Korban Pesach, if one does it, he doesn't retroactively ruin the Korban. There's an Avera that's committed, a violation is committed, but that violation does not uproot a korban that was done properly. Therefore, a machshava concerning something that doesn't in actuality ruin the korban, of course such a machshava, such a plan in mind while shechting would not passel, would not void the korban. Let's continue with the examples. Almanas shiochlu tameim v'shiakrivuhu tameim. Here we're talking about the emurin of the korban. This is a point that Rashi brings out, and it's very important to note that. Let us say that the person would shech the korban with the intention of the emurim being eaten by tameim, or by the or an intention of the emurim being offered on the mizbeach by tameim. But and we want Rebbe Yehuda to say about this if he has such a plan in mind that the korban would be pasled. But zivcha gufei mi mifsel, does the korban itself become ruined if that were to happen? No. Once the zrikas adam takes place on a korban, the emurim, if they are lost, for example, the korban itself is not ruined. So that whatever the, let's say, the fate of the emurim is, that doesn't retroactively ruin a korban that had been processed properly till that point. Therefore, there's no room for Rebbe Yehuda to argue. He only said that a machshava will ruin a korban if that machshava would be carried out in actuality, would also ruin the korban. But if in this example, if tameim would eat the emurim, or tameim would offer the emurim, the korban itself wouldn't be ruined. Another question. Shiachluhu arelim v'shiakrivu arelim. The Tanakama ruled, the Mishnah ruled, that this is, the korban is kosher if he plans for it to be, the meat to be eaten by the uncircumcised, or to be offered by the uncircumcised. So why doesn't Rebbe Yehuda say about this that the korban is pasul? So the Gemara answers, zivcha gufei mi mifsel, would the korban itself become pasul? The answer to that is no. The korban itself, if let us say arelim ate the meat of the korban, it wouldn't ruin the korban. It might be an avera for the orel to eat it, but it wouldn't ruin the korban. Lishna achrina, kol kemine, does he have the power? In other words, a machshava is not considered a machshava when it is totally on others. So that in this case where he's shechting the korban on condition that arelim should eat from it, who says that the arelim will eat from it? It's not in his, their eating is not something in his power. That, of course, is in contrast with the person shechting a korban with his intention for himself to eat the korban at the wrong time. So that's what the expression of kol kamini does. He have the power, and since he doesn't have the power to ensure that someone else, in this case arelim, would eat the korban, so therefore it's considered a non-machshava. Le'arev domoi bedam hapsulim. To a person shechs with the kavona that the korban blood would be mixed with invalidated blood. So why does Rebbe Yehuda not say that the korban in fact is ruined? The Gemara answers, Rebbe Yehuda l'tamei, Rebbe Yehuda in declaring the korban to be kosher holds the Rebbe Yehuda who holds the Omar the Ein Dam Mevatel Dam. The fact that you mixed in invalidated dam to this korban's kosher blood means the blood that's fit for zrika, doesn't neutralize the korban's own zrika worthy blood. Hence, a mixing in of dam posel wouldn't ruin the blood to begin with. Therefore, Rebbe Yehuda is machshir. Another question. Litain es anitnin lamala, lamato, lamato, lamala. Where the person would, where the kohen would sprinkle the blood, in the incorrect spot of the Mizbeach, the korban who's shechted with this in mind, so the Mishnah rules is kosher. Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda say it's posel? Rabbi Yehuda l'tameh, Rabbi Yehuda in declaring and agreeing that it's kosher is consistent with his general approach. The Omar, Rabbi Yehuda has been known to say, Shelo l'mkoymoy nami mkoymoy karina bay, that where the dam is placed in the wrong spot, we refer to it as its correct spot. Therefore, we can fill in by saying that the Zevach itself would not be Nifsal, even if this was actually done. The Gemara goes on to ask, we have a very short bracketed section, and we would initially de-emphasize what's in the brackets and skip the brackets, and right after it says that why don't they argue v'hanitnin b'chutz shenoslan b'fnim, that korbonos that are supposed to be done in the azorah, and he did the sprinkling of the blood in the heichal, that such a machshava should ruin the korban, and yet Rabbi Yehuda says it does not ruin the korban. Kosova Rabbi Yehuda, who agrees that the korban will be kosher if he has this in mind, bo'inon mokoim shiehe meshulosh bedam bebosar uveimurim. Let's just go over the case that we emphasized two lines above, the case of hanitnin b'chutz shenoslan b'fnim. Korbanos that are supposed to be done in the Azara, and he planned to have the dam sprinkled in the Heichal. In general, blood that enters, if in actuality the blood would be brought into the Heichal, the Korban would be ruined. So this would be sufficient grounds, you would think, for Rabbi Yehuda to say that this would constitute a Shelo Bimkomo Machshava. Is planning to do that which you should be zorek in the Azara. He plans to do it bifnim, in the Heichal. Why does this not constitute a machshav of chutz l'mkomo? The Gemara answers, Kosav Rabbi Yehuda, bo'inon mokim shiei meshulosh bedam bebosar uveimurim. In order for one to be in violation of a machshav of chutz l'mkomo, he has to have a mokim that's called Mishulash. What do we mean then by that? So during the time of the allowance made for personal altars, that's what we refer to as the period of time called Heter Bomos. During the time of Heter Bomos, a number of halachas that appear in the context of the Beis HaMikdash were not practiced in the case of the Bomos. What characterizes Bomos? Well, it's called a Mokum Meshulash. It's, first of all, it's something that the dam is sprinkled there. It's the korbonos meat can be eaten there. And the emurim are offered on the Bomos. That's Michutz LeMikdash Bezman Heter Bomos. A place like that, a place that has that characteristic of being called Mishulash, as we just explained, Dam B'Bosu B'Murim, that when had in mind would constitute Chutz L'Mkomo. A person has in mind during the time of Isur Bomos, when he shechts a korban, he has in mind to do whatever, either to eat the meat or to sprinkle the dam in a place that during Heter Bomos would have been Meshulash, would have had these three characteristics. Now, this is all in contrast with the Heichal. The Heichal, there may very well have been a sprinkling of blood in the Heichal, but it was not a place that the Korbonos would be eaten, and it was not a place that the Emurim were offered. So, it doesn't fill the bill of what would constitute a chutz lumkomo machshava. The Gemara has a long question now, and we're introducing a new marking. This is explained on the. Oh, actually, we must go over the. We skipped a few words, it's just to make the reading clearer. But if we just go up a few lines, at the end of a line, we see the word veliflog next to the little tess of the Shita Mugubetzes. Reading the Gemara from there, it says veliflog benitnin lebifnim shenoslan bachutz. Those types of korbanos that are supposed to be processed in the Heichal, and he processes in the Azara. Likewise, he has a plan to offer the dam of those korbanos that are done, generally speaking, in the Azara, and he plans to do it bifnim. So we said that such a machshava will not be a machshava of chutzlum komo, even though he's planning to do that which is done in the Azara in the Hecha, which would ostensibly be the wrong place, but it's not the Isser of Chutzlum Komo. As we saw, it has to be a type of place that under the best of circumstances, three things would be done there. But the Hecha, at best we can say only there was a Zrika Sadam, but the other actions were never done in the Heichal. Hence, it doesn't constitute a place that we could label as Chutzlum Komo. Now, as we glance to the outside margin, we see the Nosei Mivneh heading. There's the Nosei as the topic, and the Mivneh, the structural note, combined. And these house forms appear in two different directions. So the note that we have suggests, or reads as follows, Kushios, questions, Bishnei, Kivunim hafuchim. Questions that are presented in two opposite directions. The Inyan Shitas Rebuta, regarding Rebuta's Shita, Bahagdoras Chutz, in his classification of what constitutes Chutz, Ke Mokoim Meshulosh, Bedam, Bebosu, Uveimurim, Beshas Heter Bomos. Rebuta said that when is something Chutz, it's something that we can that can be described as a mokum mishulosh during the zman of heter bomos, and that applies only to the area outside of the Azora, not the Heichal, and not within the Heichal. The Gemara now asks, umi is slave or beautiful? This we should also note is a long question. As you can see, we've used the house form with a vertical dashed line under it to describe the length. So, umi islay the Rebuta hai svara, that does Rebuta hold from that logic that machsheves chutz is chal only concerning a machsheva that's outside the mikdash alone? V'ha tanya, Rebuta omer, davar ra. That's a quote from the pasuk, and the pasuk we've included on the inside margin, Dvorim Perik Yud Zayin Pasuk Aleph. It says there, in reading from the inside margin, you see Lo Yisizbach LaShem Elokecho Shor Vaseh Asher Yeh Boi Mum Kol Dovaro Ki Toyevas Hashem Elokecho Hu. So in our Gemara, the Gemara is asking, does Rebuta really hold that Machsheves Chutz is Chal only in a place that we would otherwise be able to Mekayim three things? Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Dovara, Ribo, Kan Chatos Sheshochta Bedorom, Vechatos Shenichnas Domo Lefnim, Psula. The Brisa tells us that a Chatos, a Korban Chatos that shechted in the southern half of the Azora, or a Chatos Nichnas Domo Lefnim, Rashi explains this means that one shall not shecht a korban with the intention of bringing the blood inside the Heichal. It's very important to be careful, because what we just explained is not the literal translation of case number two. Case number two, once again, is he should not slaughter with the machshava of being machnis the dam inside. So what do we see? We see that he doesn't require mokel meshulash, that machshava to bring the blood inside the heichal will ruin the korban, even though the heichal is not a mokel meshulash. The Gemara now asks a question in the opposite direction. The Leslei the Rebuta Shlishi, could you possibly say that Rebuta does not hold from this idea of three actions taking place in a particular place? The three actions, once again, is a reference to outside of the Azara. Does he not hold from that? That only if you have a machshava of a chutzlum komo nature that's outside the Azara, that's the machshava that will ruin. Does he not hold from that? V'hotnan, Omar Rabbi Yehuda, hichnis b'shogeg kosher. Ha v'mezid posel. If a person brings the dam into the heichal unwittingly, b'shogeg, it doesn't ruin the korban. But if he brings it in with intent, willfully, that ruins the korban. There is a din that the dam is not to be brought into the heichal. So here we're pointing out that it's only if the dam is brought in willingly. The kaimalon, the shikiper. When do we say that the mezid it's posel? That's only if he uses the blood for sprinkling inside the heichal. Namely, he sprinkles the blood mamish on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. So now the Gemara points out, Hashta Uma Hosam, mind you, over there, in that case that we just described, the Ayil, where he actually brings the blood into the Heichal. E Kiper in, E Lo Kiper Lo, if he uses it for sprinkling, for Kapor, for atonement, if he actually sprinkles in the Heichal, then the korban is ruined. But if he doesn't, if he just brings it in, merely brings it in, the dam, he merely brings the dam into the heichal without using it for sprinkling purposes, the korban is not ruined. Hocha de choshiv chashuvi, here where we're talking about merely thoughts, lo kol shekein, then all the more so, the korban shall not be ruined. And what do we see from here? That a machshava of bringing into the heichal certainly would not ruin the korban. Hence, we see that, of course, Rabbi Yehuda holds that it has to be a mokel meshulash. So if we just go over the last few lines of Gemara, where we were using the house marking, according to the first question, we seem to indicate that a machshava of bringing the blood into the heichal, according to Rabbi Yehuda, would ruin the korban. According to the second house form, where we had inverted it, it seems that a machshava of bringing the dam into the heichal would certainly not ruin the korban, because it's not a mokel meshulash. So we seem we have two opposite approaches to Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara answers, Trei Tanoi Valibud Rabbi Yehuda. What we see here are two Tanaic opinions, two later Tanaic opinions, in attempting to explain Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara now asks a question. This is a long question. It takes you down a few lines from the top of Amud Beis. Under our Nosei, our topic heading in the outside margin, we've written, Biur Shitas Rabbi Yehuda Binyan Chatos Sheshachta Bedorom. We're going to analyze or clarify Shitas Rabbi Yehuda with regard to a korban chatos that's slaughtered in the southern half of the Azora. The Gemara asks this. Actually, before we go further, we should take advantage of our markings. We have a little arrow here, and a few lines up, there is an arrow also where it said, it's pointing to the line that says, V'chatos Shenichnas Doma Lifnim Psula. Actually, we have on that line where it's Badorom. Chata Shishachta Badorom is, according to Rebuta, Psula. The Gemara asks, V'sav Rebuta Chata Shishachta Badorom Yehei Chayav. That if one were to shecht the korban chatos in the southern half, he would be chayav malchus. Is that really so? V'hatanya, we have the following source: Rabbi Yehuda Omer yochol chatos sheshochta bedorom. Notice we've dashed underline that to emphasize that this is the very case we're talking about. Could it be that a chatos that shechted in the southern half of the Azor Yehei chayav, would he be chayav Malchus? Talmud Lomar Loi Sizbach Lashem Elokecha Shor Vasev Vechulei Kol Dovar Ra. That's the pasuk. Al Kol Dovar Ra Atamachayvo. That's a reference to a blemish, a mum shebegolui. That's called Dovar Ra. So regarding that, we are mechayev. We would invoke a penalty. But we would not penalize someone who shechted the korban in the southern half of the Azora. So what do we have if we take stock of the last few lines of Gemara? We had a Tana a few lines up from the bottom of Lamed Vavam at Aleph, where Rabbi Huda was featured as saying that a chatos that's nishchad badorom would be posel and chayev malchus. When we see Rabbi Yehuda presented here at the top of Lamed Vav Amud Beis, Rabbi Yehuda says that shechita bedarim would not result in a chayev malchus. The Gemara answers, listen, there are two trei tanoi valibod Rabbi Yehuda. There are two tanaic opinions as to what Rabbi Yehuda said. Before we go further in the Gemara, we'll want to just take note of our structural note. And on the outside margin, you can see we've numbered them. We have presented a Roman numeral 1 through 3. And we've noted Gimel K'toyim. There are three sections in the Gemara, each one beginning with the Roman numeral to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, in the space between the Gemara and the Tosfos. These represent Gimel K'toyim in Mivnim Domin. There are three sections of Gemara with very similar structures. In other words, even though the topics aren't going to be necessarily overlapping with each other or connected to one another, however, the structure of each section will be of a similar nature. So here we have a situation of Gemara that has similarity in terms of structure, but not content. As you look into the Gemara text itself, you'll notice a number of different forms being used. They are explained in our note in the outside margin. You have a double underline that will... That represents the Memra Posachas, the beginning of the comment that's going to be made, the opening of each section. So we've used a double underline to show where the beginning appears. We then see a name circled, and in each case you'll see Rava's name is circled. Rava Menase Lesayea. Rava is attempting to bring support. He says Teda, and we have the word Teda marked off with a house form around the word Teda. So at that point, Rava is trying to bring a support. And then we have Dechias Dechia Velohi. You'll see the expression Velohi also in a house form. However, it's inverted. It's an undoing. It's a rejection. And the Gemara will make the standard distinction between Hosam over there is one thing and Hocha here is something else. We've also described Nosei number 1. And we've written in the Rabbi Yehuda, Achrei Machshavas Yinuach, according to Rabbi Yehuda, after a machshava of after shechting the korban with a plan to leave over the meat. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, after he had such a machshava, kigon shochan amnas laniach es domo lamocher, then chozer v'chishev ve'echol avodas avos. He then had a machshava in concerning one of the later services, because up till now we featured the machshava during shechita. So here we'll be talking about he had a machshava during shechita, machshava of hinuach, of leaving something over. Let us say he then has a second machshava during one of the subsequent avodos. So as far as the shechita is concerned, we described that already. He slaughtered with the mindset of leaving over. What about during the Kabbalah, the Halacha, the Zrika? So the note continues to say, Chozar v'choshav b'echod ha'avodos haboyis almenas lizrok l'mochar ha'im nikba b'pigol. Does it get established as pigol? We should just make a general note that if you have a mixing of machshavas, for example, a person has an almanas lahaktir domo lemochar, and then after he expresses that, he says almanas lahaktir emurav shelo bezmano. That's a case where after he had one type of machshava, he then switched at a subsequent stage of the surface of the processing with another machshava. In the case of pigol, that would forestall the pigol from ever taking hold. If he started off, according to the Rabbanan, of course, if he started with a machshava chutz l'zmano and then had a second machshava later on of chutz l'makomo, that would neutralize the chutz l'zmano machshava. With regard to Rabbi Yehuda, he holds if the machshava chutz l'zmano would be first, so then the machshava of chutz l'makom wouldn't undo the machshava of chutz l'zmano. What about a case where he starts off with a machshava of lahoniach and then has a machshava later on of lizrok domo lamachar? Would that kind of korban be able to be classified as pigol? Omar Rabbi Abba, turning to the Gemara, Umoide Rabbi Huda, after he had a machshava of lahoniach, shechozer v'kovo lepigol. If he has a machshava concerning one of the later actions of processing the korban, namely the Kabbalah, the Holocha, or the Zrika, if he at one of those stages he has a machshava of chutz lizmano, that it would take hold, that shechozer v'kovo lepigol, and we don't say, well, the korban was already nifsal, was already rendered possible with the machshavas hinuach. Right? That we don't say. Omar Rova Teda. As we saw in our note on the side, we know that Rova will be attempting to bring a proof to that which we just said. In other words, that which Rabbi Abba just said. Omar Rova Teda. The pigol lifnei zrika lo klum hu. If a person shechted a korban, he slaughtered korban with the intention of doing the zrika sadam lemochar, that itself does not become, it doesn't become pigol at that point. The Gemara goes on to say, v'asya zrika v'kova lo b'pigol. When he does the actual sprinkling of the dam at the right time, that establishes the korban as being pigol. And we don't say that it was already nifsal, and therefore pigol cannot be chal. Rather, we say that even though there was a machshava that did passel it, pigol still could be chal if he has a machshava of chutz l'zmano during one of the subsequent stages. The Gemara says, Velohi, to bring a proof like Rava did to support Rabbi Abba's din, we say no. Hosam hu chado machshavahi. In the case of the case that Rava featured, there wasn't any change from the original machshava. The original machshava in the case of Rava is where he shechted the korban with the intention of doing the zrikas adam chutz lizmano. He doesn't have any change as the korban is processed from that mindset. Hence, the korban can become established as pigul. Hacha, in the case that Rabbi Abba featured, trei machshavos. There were two different machshavos. The first was a machshava of hinuach, leaving over, which would be l'shem psul. Later on, he intends to do something, to do, later on, as he is does Kabbalah Sadam, he then has a kavona of chutz lizmano. That's a machshava l'shem pigul. So as such, you cannot bring proof from the way Rava did from a case where there was a singular machshava and use that to prove the din of Rabbi Abba, where in fact there is a double machshava. So it could very well be that in such a case Rabbi Yehuda would not agree that the subsequent machshavas pigul after a machshavas hinuach, the korban would then become pigul. Esve Rav Huna the Rabbi Abba. We will bring a Tanaic source and then show how the source is against Rabbi Abba's teaching. In this source, we've dashed underlined key expressions that will help us focus on the main point. You could see there's a lemachar that's dashed underlined, and it says lizmano. In other words, it's a case of choshev chutz lizmano. And it says there, posel v'ein bo kores. So, bearing that in mind as we read the source, we'll show you how you have something that, in effect, is against what Rabbi Abba teaches. Litain es hanitnin lamala lamata. The source features a person had a machshava of placing the dam of something that should be above the on the upper half of the mizbeah of and he plans to do it at the lower part or the other way around, lamata lamala. If he has the machshava to do this incorrect sprinkling of the dam le'alter, kosher, the korban is not ruined. Chozar v'chishev. He then has a machshava during a latter stage. Chutz l'mkomo, posel v'yembo kores. Chutz l'zmano, pigul v'chayovim olav kores. If he started off with a machshava that does not ruin the korban, there remains room for the korban to be ruined to the tune of a pigul if he has a machshavas pigul at a second or a latter stage. However, if he has the machshava of litnin es hanitnin lamalo lamato or lamata lamalo, but when lamochar, he has an intention of placing the dam on the mizbeach at the wrong point the next day, posel. The korban is ruined based on the what's called machsheves hinuach. What in effect is he thinking? He's in effect thinking to leave the blood over till the next day. It's by virtue of the fact that he's not planning to do it on the right spot of the mizbeach, that takes it out of the realm of a simple machsheves chutz lizrok domo chutz lizmano. Since he's planning to do it on the wrong spot of the mizbeach, it's like a machshava of lahaniach domo lemocher. So if he has such a machshava, the korban is nifsal. Chozar v'chishev bein chutz lizmanoi, bein chutz lemkomo, posul v'ein bo kores. What do we see from here? That after a machshavas hinuach, if he then has a machshava during a later stage to do the zrikas adam chutz lizmano, it does not become pigul. What did Rabbi Abba say about that? What did Rabbi Abba say about a case of a machsheves chutz lizmano after a machsheves hinuach? Rabbi Abba tried to say that Rabbi Yehuda would be moide that it is nikba bepigul. Here you see that it's, as we've dashed underline, posel v'ein bo kores. This then, therefore, is a tiufta to Rabbi Abba. Tiufta, this would be a total refutation of Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Let us glance at the Rashi across from here, a little bit up. Is you see, Lamochar Posel, Chishev Litain Lamochar, Esanitnin Lamato Lamalon. He had an intention of doing the Zrikas Adam tomorrow, however, on the wrong spot of the Mizbeach. Ve'uki beperek sheni mishum machshavas hinuach Rabbi Yehuda, ve'lo mishum machshavas nesinas mocher, dimkein pigul miboyalei. This brisa is clearly saying that a machshava of doing zrikas adam on the wrong spot of the mizbech is not pigul, because the brisa here used the word posel. Almo lo havi pigul. That machshava, that first stage machshava, did not create pigul. The zrika de lo kosher bachilu lo asile pigul, because a zrika that could not lead to the korban being eaten is not a type of zrika that could lead to pigul. The Kotoni, and the source teaches, chozar v'chishev boi, that after this machsheves hinuach, he then had a machshava of chutz lizmano, amalo mikba suba pigul. From this we see that it can no longer become classified as pigul. And that is against Rabbi Abba. We've inserted a slash into the Gemara because that which follows is a new idea. However, it is related to that which appeared before structurally, in the sense that it's the same structure of Gemara, but it's a new idea. On the side, we have a no-say heading with a Roman numeral number 2 next to it. And we've written in on the side of the Gemara, Chishev Shiochluhu Temeim Lamochar. A person shechted the korban with the intention of Temeim eating it the next day. Not a simple Machsheves Chutz Lizmano, which would mean where a person shechts the korban with the intention of someone appropriate eating it tomorrow. Here, there's a nuance. He's thinking about someone who's Tomei to eat it the next day. So, Lefi Rav Chisda, Chayav, according to Rav Chisda, that would be a problem of chutz lizmano. Let's look in the Gemara. Om Rav Chisda, Om Ravina Bar Sila, Chishev Shiachluhu Tameim Lemochar Chayav, Chayav Mishum Pigol, Om Rava Teda, and Rava wants to strengthen this by saying you should, by proving this. The Bosar Lifnei Zrika Lo Chozi. Bosar, the meat of a korban before the actual zrikas adam, is unfit. V'chi mechashev bei, and when he has a machshava during shchita, al menas lochlo lemochar, in general, this is the general case of people, v'chi mechashev bei, mifsal. Before we go further in the Gemara, let's glance at the Rashi, where there's a star, Teda, the Machsheves Achilas Posel, the intention of an invalid individual eating the korban, Lo Mifka Midei Pigul. That type of Machsheva does not undo the possibility of the korban becoming Pigul. Bar Mi Machsheves Chutz Lemkomo, with the exception of what can undo a Machsheves Pigul from being Chal, where a person had a Machsheva of Chutz Lemkomo. Taha basar lifnei zrika lo chazei lachila. The meat of an animal before zrika is actually done is not fit for eating. V'chi mechashiv bei b'shchit al menas lo'ochlo lemachar mifgil. And when he shechts it with the intention of it being eaten tomorrow, that will create people afagav de hashto achila psula, even though right now eating it before the zrika would be usur, would be an achila psula below shum people. Turning back to the Gemara, v'loihi, the comparison that Rava made to Rav Chisda's din is not accurate. Hosam, in the case that he was shochet almanas lizrok lemochar, zorik umechsi. That means that if not for the fact that there had been a machsheves pigol, all he would have to do, he would do zrikas adam, and the meat would be fit. Hocha, in the example of that Rav Chisda spoke about, where he had an intention for the meat to be eaten tomorrow by Temeim, Hocha lo mechsi klal. It's not fit at all to be eaten by Temeim. Therefore, it's not parallel to the case that Rava was trying to show. And therefore, we have a rejection of Rava's Teda. And you can see that with the way we've positioned the house markings. Once again, you see a slash indicating that that which follows, even though it's a similar structure, it's a new idea. Omar Rav Chisda, Margalo v'pume de Rav Dimi bar Chinuna. It was Margalo, loshen of hergel, or possibly a pearl, but it was he was accustomed to saying Basar Pesach shelo hutzla, the meat of a korban Pesach that was not roasted, the lachme toida shelo hurmu, and the lachme toda is a reference to the 40 loaves that are brought together with a korban toda. From those 40 loaves, there are four different kinds of baked preparation. From the each one constituting 10 loaves. From each group of 10, one was removed and given to the kohen. That was called called a truma from the lachme toda. So this second point is lachme toda shelo hurmu chayovin aleihem mishum tuma. That means that if someone were to eat this betumas aguf while he is has experiencing bodily impurity, he would be chayav if he eats them. And we must note that even though we hold that something that is not nitar l'tahorim, something that's not mutar for tahorim, so there's no chiyuv, there would be no chiyuv upon eating them betuma. In this case, we're making a departure from that particular halacha. Omar Rava, Teda, and Rava will try to bring a support to Rav Chisda's halacha. Desanya, Asher Lashem. This pasuk is featured in the Rashi. Havehanefesh asher tochal mibsar zevach hashlomim asher lashem. Lerabois emure kodshim kalim letuma. This pasuk is coming to include the chiyuv kores for someone who eats the emurim, the innards of the light level sanctity korbonus while he himself is tomei betumas aguf. So what are we talking about? We're talking about eating something that generally speaking is not eaten. Almo afagav delav b'nei achilo ninu. Even though the emurim are not something generally eaten, chayov and malei mishum tuma, there is a chiyuv of tumas aguf if one eats it. Hochanami, so too in the case of the Pesach Shalohutzla or the Lach Meitoda Shalohurmu, Afagav the Lav Bnei Achilonenu, even though they're not to be eaten as they are, Chayovin Aleh Mishum Tuma. There still could be a Chiyuv Tuma that's Chal, that is binding. The Gemara rejects this, Velohi, Hosom Emure Kotshim Kalim Chozu Legavoa. Lafuke Basar Pesach Shalohutzvach Mitoidi Shalomu de Lochozu Lola Gavov Lola Hedyav. You can't bring a proof from the Tomei eating the Emure Kochim Kalim. You see, the Emurim Kochim Kalim are fit for something. They're fit for Gavoah. They're supposed to be offered on the Mizbeach to the Almighty. This is in contrast to the case of unroasted Besar Pesach or Lach Meitoda that were not tithed. They are not fit for anybody. So being that they're not fit for anybody, we can't say with assuredness that which Rava says, that there is a Chiyuv Mishum Tumas Haguf, and expect to derive that from the source of that Rava brought in of eating from the Emurim of the Kochim Kalim. Or very simply stated, Emurim of Kochim Kalim are not to be parallel to the case of Besar Pesach Shaloh Hutzla and Lach Meitoda Shaloh Hormu. At this point, we turn to the Mishnah, beginning the fourth Perek. Before we read the Mishnah, we have a topic heading, the Nosei on the outside margin, Kama Matonos Dam Li'ikuvo. How many blood sprinklings per korban are necessary for it to be a fulfillment of the korban? We'll talk about Chatos Chitzonios, Chatos Pnimios, and Sha'ar Korbonos. Beishamai Omrim, Kol Hanitnin Al Mizbeach HaChitzon, Shenosan Matona Achas, Kiper. All those korbanos that are done in the courtyard base altar of the courtyard of the base of Migdash altar, even though most korbanos have multiple zrikas adam that the Torah calls for, nevertheless, if you do one zrikas adam, it achieves atonement. In other words, it's considered a fulfillment of the obligation. Ubechatos shtei matanos. When it comes to a korban chatos, Beis Shammai says the minimum number of zrikos that are necessary are two. Ubeis Hillel omrim af chatos shenosna b'matona achas kiper. Beis Hillel is more lenient; it's less expectation, we'll say, and says that even if one matnas dam was done for the chatos, it's kiper; it atones. Lefikach im noson es horishoino. Kiper. It's considered effective. The korban is fine. What does this mean? Let us just talk about a chatas or all other zvachim according to Beis Hillel. According to Beis Shammai, this could be referred to as other types of korbanos other than chatas. What happens if he does the first matnas dam properly, v'sashniya chutzli zmano, and the second matnas dam, which really isn't necessary, and as a result of it being not really necessary, the machshava psula that you have during the second zrika has no effect. That's what the Mishnah is telling us. Vesashniya chutz lizmani does the second matnas dam with a chutz lizmano mindset. That second matnas dam wasn't so necessary because he already got his kapara from the first zrikas adam, which he did ketikna the proper way. Kiper means the korban is kosher. The korban is kosher in the sense that the bailim have fulfilled their obligation. If he does the first blood sprinkling with the machshava of chutz lizmano, and then he does the second blood sprinkling with the machshava chutz lizmano, it's established as pigul and there's a chiyuv kores. And we do not say that the machshava of chutz lizmano undoes the machshava of pigul. And the reason the machshava of chutz lemekomo does not have the power to undo it is because korav kol matirov. In other words, that once the first zrika was done, he's fulfilled his zrika obligations. Therefore, there's no room for a second machshava to have any effect. So in this particular case, where the first one was with a machshava of chutz lezmanoi, the korban will be classified as pigol. And the second stage, machshavas chutz lemekomo, has no strength to undo the first matnistam, which was done with a machshava chutz lezmano. Kol ha-nitnin al ha-mizbeach ha-pnimi, shim chiser achas min ha-matonos, all those kind of korbonos that have zrikas adam that are done inside the heichal, if one misses out on one of the zrikas adam, so lo kiper, he doesn't achieve atonement. In other words, we see from the chatas hapnimi that all of the four matnas dam are ma'akev. Lefikach nosan kulon ketiknon v'achas shelo ketikno psula v'ein bo koreis. Therefore, if he would do all of the matnas dam with the exception of one properly, and one he would do shelo ketikno, it would create a psul in the korban, but no koreis, and that's because of ein mefaglin b'chatzi matir. If you need to have if there are multiple zrika sadam, and he has this incorrect machshava during one of the multiple zrikas adam of that particular korban, that would constitute a chatzi matir. And the Mishnah is ruling ein mefaglin b'chatzi matir. This should be emphasized. We're talking here about the chatas hapnimi. And since each one of the matonas is ma'akev, if you have an incorrect machshava only during one of those matonos, that would be a chatzi matir. And pigol is not chal when you have a machshava during only half of the matirin. The mivneh that we see in the outside margin, we see a double underline featured, and a posuk, v'dam zvochecha yishofech. Birur ma nilmad mi posuk zeh. The Gemara will try to clarify what actually is learned from this posuk. So we're going to see this. You'll see the double underline form used here, and all the way down lamed zayin omad alf. In other words, a number of times you'll see this posuk double underline. This is the central point of the discussion. We're going to be mevarer what is learned from this posuk, and we'll also employ triangles with the point facing up. Those are shelos, questions. This is part of a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. And with the point facing down, that will represent tshuvos, answers. And we're emphasizing that what you see here at the bottom of Lamed Vav Amud Beis, this structure will continue down Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. So the Gemara starts, Tanu Rabbanan, Minayim l'nitnin al mizbeach chitzon shenoslon b'maton achas shekiper. From where do we know that those kind of korbanos that are supposed to be done in the courtyard, at the courtyard azora, courtyard mizbeach, that if he does one of the matonos, that's sufficient to create kapora. Talmud lomar v'dam zvochecha yishofech. And it's taken to mean shvicha achas. This one, the word yishofech means one pouring or one sprinkling, is what's mashma here. So you see that one is enough. The Gemara asks, v'ha'ala achi hu de'asa? Hi, mi boyle lichadisanya. Are you suggesting that this pasuk teaches me that which we just learned? Is it not necessary for something else? And that something else is found at the top of Lamed Zayin Omar Aleph. This is talking about the din of shvicha shirayim, of pouring out the blood that's left after you did the zrikas adam. And it says, minayim lechol hadomim shete'unin matan dam layesod. From where do we know that all korbanos were the dam that you didn't use after you did the required sprinklings, there's leftover dam, even though shvicha shirayim is mentioned in the Torah only in the case of a chatas. How do we know regarding all korbanos? Talmud Lomar v'dam zvochecha ishofech.
So that's a question. We see that dam zvochecha ishofech is a mocker for shvicha shirayim by other korbanos. So how can you say that it's a mocker for one matnas dam being sufficient to create kapora? The question was raised. The Gemara answers, Nafka lei midarebi. The din of shvichas shirayim leyasoid is learned from Rebbe. And that will be the opening point of discussion in our next shiur. With that, therefore, we conclude our shiur for today.